for that song. It all changed after we met Jesus, right? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17 tonight. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter number 17. Starting in verse 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, and turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God, glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Rise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to take these few verses and preach a message tonight entitled A Lesson from a Leper. A Lesson from a Leper. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for this message, and just help us to look deep into this passage and be able to glean some things that you would have for us. Just be with Pastor Pease and his family. Help him to have a safe trip home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus, he was making his way to Jerusalem at the end point of his ministry, and he takes a detour. He takes a place where probably most people wouldn't go. Most people wouldn't think about going, but it was because he had a divine appointment. He had a divine appointment with 10 guys, 10 lepers. And just a side note, aren't you thankful for divine appointments that Jesus has? He had a divine appointment in my life, and he has a divine appointment in your life. When I was a teenager and got assurance of my salvation, and the moment when you were saved and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you had a divine appointment from God. Only God knew about these men and what their condition was and the need of their lives, and he knew that he had to go there because he was the only one that could help them with their problem. And so I want to take this passage and kind of break it down. There's some things in here that I learned and some things that I think will be a help to us. The first thing that we see tonight are the condition of this whole group of people. The condition of these 10 guys. And what was their problem? They were lepers. They had leprosy. And back then in Bible times, in today's standards, leprosy in Bible times was like having cancer in today's standards. Not anybody could heal leprosy. If you were a leper, you had to go to the priest. In Leviticus chapter 13, there's 59 verses that deal with having leprosy. In Leviticus chapter 14, there's 57 verses that deal with having leprosy and the priestly duties that involved taking care of lepers. Not anybody could just go and look at a leper and declare him unclean. You had to go to the priest, and it was the priest's job to examine you, to look you over, and to see that, yes, you were indeed a leper. And then at that point, there was some certain things that he had to do. If you go back and read those two chapters, I think you'll find it very interesting. But if the priest wasn't even sure if you had leprosy, but just thought you did, there was a period of usually it was 7 days, and that you would have to be set apart. And after that period, he'd take you out, he'd examine you again, and if he still wasn't sure, you'd go back for another 7 days, because you could not have any relationship or any existence with other human beings if you thought you were a leper, or if the priests thought you were a leper. They took this very, very seriously. There was, in fact, the Bible even says nobody got healed by leprosy. You were cleansed by leprosy. Okay, nobody ever got, it took the divine appointment. You didn't get healed or you didn't get cleansed from leprosy, from this plague, unless Jesus did it. Okay, and so leprosy in the Bible is an analogy to sin that we have today. And my friends, can I say, if you're a sinner, there is no way to go to heaven except by the divine appointment of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can take a sinner and make him whole, cleanse his heart. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't anyone that hasn't sinned. And with these 10 guys, they all had the same condition. They were all lepers. Now, I find it interesting, 9 of these guys were Jews. One of them was a Samaritan. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other. They didn't have anything to do with each other, mainly for the fact that the Jews thought the Samaritans had betrayed their God and their brother Israel. So they didn't want to have anything to do with these guys. But you see, leprosy made everybody common. Leprosy made everybody equal. And the same is with sin. Sin, no matter your race, no matter your background, no matter your occupation, no matter if you're rich, no matter if you're poor, sin has made us all level and all equal at the cross. And there's only one person that can take a sinner and cleanse his heart. And that's Jesus Christ. So we see the condition of these guys. They were all lepers. And Jesus comes to them and he makes... He sees where they're at, and he says some very specific things to them. And we see the number 2, we see the cry of the 10. I want you to see verse 13. The Bible says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Now here's another little side note. Do you realize that the Bible was written roughly over a period of 2,000 years? Over 40 authors that wrote it over 3 continents, and they wrote this book that we call the Bible in 3 languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And isn't it interesting that God could use all these different people to write a book, and the book never conflicts itself? It's pure, it's holy. You know why? Because God took these men and told them exactly what he wanted them to say. But here in Luke, we have Luke, his occupancy is his job was a physician. So we see that Dr. Luke makes a few things that only a doctor, makes a few statements that only a doctor would know about. In verse 13 it says, "And they lifted up their voices." Do you realize one of the things that goes when you are a leper is your voice box? You it is hard to talk. And so the Bible here, when it says these guys, they lifted up their voice to cry unto Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They had to strain. It took great effort to cry out to Jesus. You see that there? Sin took this. You know, sin never starts. Just like leprosy, sin starts out small. Just like leprosy. The leper doesn't become all disfigured and all at once. You know, what makes somebody a liar? Their first lie. What makes somebody a thief? The first thing they steal. You know? What makes somebody an absolute wicked sinner? The first sin they commit. Right? And so just like leprosy, it starts off small, and unless repentance comes in, or a change of heart, or turning to God and asking for forgiveness, you're never going to get cleansed. You're never going to get rid of your sin. And so we see here that their cry was for mercy. You know, it's interesting that they knew who to cry to. The priests couldn't help them. The people couldn't help them. The money couldn't help them. Nobody could help them but Jesus Christ. They see Jesus Christ coming, and they lifted up their voice and cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They knew who he was. They knew that he could help them with their problem. Verse 14, we see number 3, the cleansing of the 10. Verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show that yourself unto the priest.'" Now this word "saw" has the idea of taking it all in. That's what this word "saw" means, to take it all in. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't just glance at you? He takes you all in. Jesus doesn't just see numbers, he sees names. He doesn't just see crowds, he sees the individual. And here, he sees the problem and the condition of these 10 guys. And look what he says to them. He says, "Go show yourself unto the priests." Now, if I was a leper and I didn't know the Levitical law of this, I would think that's kind of strange. I would think that's kind of funny. Because we know who Jesus is, and we know that what Jesus can do. We know that he can heal, and he can make blind men see, and deaf men speak, and dead men to life again. We know that he can do these things. So when Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest," we would think that's kind of harsh. What Jesus is trying to teach here is that it takes a little faith to get your answer. See, Jesus could have said, all right, and Jesus, he knew the Levitical law. He said, all right, you're healed, you're cleansed, your leprosy is gone. Now, you know your duty, you're supposed to go to the priest and show yourself to him. And he's going to examine you, he's going to look at you to make sure that the leprosy is gone. And I can imagine these guys, they were looking forward to this. I mean, they would be thinking, man, if Jesus could just heal me, then I could go back to my family. I wouldn't be an outcast. I could go back to my business. I could go back to my community. I could go back to my church. I can go back to my family. I can live my life again. I can have my dreams back. All these different things. But Jesus turns and he says, go show yourself to the priest. And if I was one of these 10 guys, I'd be saying, what? You know? You're Jesus. You can heal me. But look what they did. They turned and they left. It says in verse, at the end of verse 14, that came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So these 10 guys that had leprosy comes and lifts their voice to Jesus, asks for mercy. He says, go show yourself to the priest. So all 10 of these guys, they start going down the road. They're going to show themselves to the priest. As they're walking, some things begin to change. The fingers that they had lost that went to nubs, their fingers came back. Their toes, they could see that they could walk a little easier. Their toes came back. Their faces, of the other guys, they weren't disfigured anymore. They weren't as ugly. Okay? They had clear skin. They were cleansed. And they kept going. Except one guy. One guy couldn't take another step. One guy said, in his mind, said, I can't go any farther because I've got to go back and thank the one who healed me. Look at this in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, you remember when he was a leper, Dr. Luke said they had to lift up their voice. You remember that? When he got healed, look what kind of voice he has now. With a loud voice glorified God. See, his leprosy was gone. He didn't have to strain to glorify God anymore. He was healed. And so now with a loud voice, he could come back to God and glorify God and praise God. Look what he did in verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He took his time. I mean, can you imagine him falling down on his face? Now, you might just skip over that and think that's no big deal, but that's huge. Okay? Because a leper, every movement that they made, they were in constant pain. It hurt to breathe. It hurt to move. And so him taking that step and realizing that he's cleansed has to go back and thank Jesus. And he falls down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Painless. I don't know how long these guys have been lepers. It could have been 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And it's really not important. The important thing is they had a problem. They had a leprosy problem. And they got healed. We can correlate that to we have a sin problem. And if we've asked Jesus Christ to come into our heart, we've been cleansed. We've been made new. We've been made whole. We've been a new creature, the Bible said. Where old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not the same person anymore. And we can come back to Jesus and give him thanks for what he's done, just like this guy. But at the end of verse 16, the Bible says he was a Samaritan, an unlikely person. Number 4, you have the coming of the one. An unlikely person comes back to Jesus to give him thanks. And Jesus sees this and takes notice of it. Because here it says in verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There was 10 people that had a condition. There was 10 people that had a problem. There was 10 people that had leprosy. Jesus knew that he had healed all 10. Jesus knew that he had told 10 to go back and show themselves to the priest. Only one came back. That's not very good odds. 1/10 came back to show him and give him praise and glory. You know, the actions of this one man was a rebuke to the other 9. These other men were thoughtless. And you can't blame them in a way, to an extent. I mean, if you can just put your mind in their shoes, they've been lepers for who knows how long. They were outcasts. They've been away from their family. They've been in constant pain. They're losing limbs. They're losing their memory. They're losing their voices. They're losing all these different things. And they get a glimpse of hope and a little faith on their part to go show themselves to the priest by Jesus. And they start on their way. And the more steps they take, it's not hurting. The farther they go, they're getting some limbs back. And you got to imagine, they have got to think, I have got to go to the priest. I have got to show myself to the priest, because they know if they can get to the priest and the priest looks at him, I'm sure he's going to be amazed, but the priest is going to know that the only way they got cleansed was they came in contact with Jesus. Jesus had to heal them, because there was no other way that these guys, being lepers, would be cleansed except by Jesus. And so these guys are taking their steps and they're making their way to the tabernacle or the tent or wherever the priest is at, to show themselves, and all they can think about is getting back in their community and getting back to their loved ones and getting back to their home and getting back to their life. But one on their way said, I can't take another step without going back and thanking Jesus. You see, Jesus even makes another comment here in verse 18. He says, there are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. Why does Jesus call this guy, the Samaritan, a stranger? Because this guy, this Samaritan, being a Samaritan, had no promises and there was no covenants that the Samaritans held to Israel. And so it was an unlikely person. It wasn't expected that a Samaritan would turn back to give praise. If anybody was going to come back and give Jesus praise, it'd be the Jews. But this Samaritan comes back and gives praise to Jesus. You know, the thoughtlessness of the other nine led to thanklessness, ingratitude for what God had done in their life. How sad for those other nine. You know, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible ever say that those nine ever got back in contact with Jesus to say thank you for what he had done for them. But look what Jesus said to this Samaritan. Verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This guy was still on the ground. Jesus is asking this guy, where are the nine? This guy's still on the ground, giving thanks. He was taking his time. It wasn't just, thanks for healing me. Now I got to run and show myself to the priest to get back to my family. No. He was taking his time giving thanks to God. Jesus was the one that told him to get up. How long he would have stayed there if Jesus hadn't told him, I don't know. Probably a little longer. Jesus says, arise, go thy way. He said, get up, go to the priest, show yourself to him. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know what the difference was between this guy and the other nine? He got cleansed just like those nine got cleansed. The leprosy didn't leap back on them because they didn't come back and say thanks. All right, they were still cleansed. They were still made whole. But this guy understood who healed him and couldn't forget it. He remembered it. This guy understood and remembered what it was like to be a leper and never wanted to go back there again. And so being a former leper, he was going to go back to his healer and say thank you. And he took a while. You know, we just came out of Thanksgiving and we're going into Christmas. And it seems like that Christmas, December just flies by. There's always a ton of things to do home and here and there. And just seems like you got to meet with this family member and that family member. That's all good stuff and everything. But I think, if you think about it, the world doesn't take time to say thank you. The world doesn't care. The world is a world that's give me, give me, give me, or they're going to take it, and they're never going to stop to say thank you. And so the world, I think it's even affected Christians and affected churches because the world is so busy at this time of year trying to get your mind off the real reason for Christmas and the real reason why we celebrate Christmas. And they're pumping sales and they're pumping Santa Claus and they're pumping a bunch of other things. And it's easy for Christians to lose sight of what we should be doing. You know, Thanksgiving is good and it's nice and it comes quick. You know what the world does? Black Friday. Well, that wasn't good enough, so we're going to crowd in a little bit more on Thursday. And so sales start on Thursday. Then you got football and all those things are good. But sometimes we don't think about thanking the one that we should be thanking. Did that mess you up? Okay. All right. Sometimes we don't think about that. Because we lose track, we're so caught up with the world and we're so caught up with getting to the next place and eating the next menu and all these different things that we forget about what's really important. And if you're saved here tonight, you have a lot to be thankful for. You know, this guy had so much to be thankful for, he couldn't take another step. He had to go back and talk to Jesus about it. We have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes I think we do a great disservice, a great injustice to God by not going back and just spending some time and thanking him for it. Saying thanks for what you've done in my life. Thanks for the salvation. You know, we got a lot of problems and physical ailments and trials and troubles and everything here on earth. But you know, if we're a Christian, we got God. You know, the lost people, they still have all those things too. The difference is we've got God. We've asked Jesus to come to our heart to forgive us of our sin and take us to heaven when we die, we've got a hope. We've got a future and a bright future. And it's coming quick. And I think sometimes we forget to thank him for what he's done for us. You know, when Christmas comes and we read the Christmas story and we open up presents and we eat the meal and pretty soon it's the next day and pretty soon the next thing is New Year's resolution and then it's the next year and we just don't take the time to stop and understand that we need to give thanks to God. Spend some time with him. You know, when's the last time Jesus said, all right, you've spent enough time with me, get up and go about your day? I mean, that's what he did with this guy. Has that ever happened to you? No. Usually what happens is we don't get to spend enough time and he's calling us and saying, hey, where are you at? We've got a problem. You know, a lot of people, the same with this guy, we're quick to pray, but we're slow to praise. You know, when we have a problem, man, it is the news flash of the house and in the church and on the prayer chain. We've got a problem and it's got to get fixed and we pray about it and we ask other people to pray about it and all those things are good. But when the problem gets resolved, when the issue comes to, is done, we don't praise him. Every time I preach, I always, multiple times before I do it, I ask God for several different things. And some of them are for help, for wisdom, for direction, for memory, you know, for some other things. But after every message, usually I go up and usually it's my office or I go up somewhere and I thank him for helping me get through the message. Because I always, at the end of a message, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Can't think straight, you know, all those different things. And before I preach, I always tell God that I'll be careful to thank him for helping me. And at the end of the message, I do that. But you know what I find? I do that when I'm going to preach, but for other things, I might not do that so much. I'm quick to pray, but I'm slow to praise. And when he's done so much for us, we're missing a very key ingredient in our relationship with God. You know, I think it was Herbert Lochner or Lochler. I can't remember his name exactly, but he had a quote. And it said, all 10 sang the note of mercy, but when it came to the note of thanks, one man sang alone. And I just want to end with this. God has done so much for us. We need to thank him continually. Are we going to be like the 9 guys that got the benefit, got the blessing, got the reward, got cleansed, and just keep going? Or are we going to be the guy that got all those things, but he couldn't keep going on his life and on his journey without first turning around and saying thanks to God? What are we going to be like? We just come out of Thanksgiving. We're going into Christmas. I just don't want anyone to forget the real reason for Christmas. And if you're a Christian, you have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to praise Him for. God's been good to us. Let's make sure we tell Him and we thank Him for that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for this message. Help us to not be like the other nine guys, the nine Jews that didn't or forgot to say thank you, to turn back and to give you praise. Help us to be like the Samaritan that couldn't go another step in his life without first realizing where the good gifts came from and for stopping and saying thank you. Help us to be like that person. Help us to be more like you. Thank you for all your blessings to us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we can have a home in heaven if we ask Him in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As